And so it's not too often that a special set of readings trumps our ordinary time readings, and yet today this is what has happened. We celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration, and it is connected with this day of August the 6th because of two things. Number one, the church that was built on top of Mount Tabor in the Holy Land, where this event probably took place, was dedicated on this day in the 4th century, a long time ago. And then later on in the year 1456, on this day, news reached the Pope in Rome that the Muslim Turks who were invading Europe were defeated in Belgrade. And so the Pope Calixtus III at this time said that it would now be a universal feast in thanksgiving for this grace. But subsequently, in the year 1945, something else happened on this day. The atomic bomb was dropped over Hiroshima in Japan during World War II. The atomic bomb, which was an equivalent of 20,000 tons of TNT, immediately 66,000 people were killed, 69,000 injured, and then 3 days later, another bomb dropped over Nagasaki, 39,000 killed, 25,000 injured. As a church, we do not believe in nuclear bombs because they are totally indiscriminate. Women and children, innocent people are killed with nuclear bombs and so forth. And now, of course, there is the hydrogen bomb, which is 5 to 7 million tons of TNT if one were to be dropped. It would level a square area of 150 square miles, would be totally leveled, and a searing heat for 800 square miles. So it's unbelievable power that is in a hydrogen bomb. And I know we have that power, and I think North Korea, we've been hearing in the news, is trying to get a hydrogen bomb or to make one. But I would propose to you that the transfiguration of the Lord is even greater than these physical bombs. We're talking about spiritual power because God is the creator of the whole universe, right? You can imagine at the moment of the creation of the universe, that incredible force of energy that was created by God, that might be the equivalent of trillions and zillions of hydrogen bombs at one moment, shows the power of God. And so his spiritual power is much greater than any kind of physical power. And this is what was shown to Peter, James, and John on top of Mount Tabor before Jesus had to go to the cross. He wanted to show them his glory and that they should not at least totally lose heart. At least John stayed there at the foot of the cross, right? The others left. But he said, do not tell this to anybody until the Son of Man has been glorified. And as they were on top of that mountain, they heard the Father's voice, the same voice that was at the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. And so at the baptism, Jesus was sent out on his public ministry with that voice of the Father. And now with the voice of the Father, once again, he was sent to Jerusalem to die on the cross, but also to rise gloriously on the third day, a Sunday. And that's why we gather on Sundays as Christians, to give thanks and praise to Almighty God. And in this experience, they saw Moses and Elijah right there on either side of Jesus. And Moses represents the law of the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament, right? And then Elijah represents the prophets. And so you could say that Moses and Elijah summarize the whole Old Testament history. The law and the prophets that Jesus quoted. That's all the whole Testament is pointing to Jesus, who is the New Testament, the new covenant in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so they experienced this power, and Jesus was left alone after this experience. Moses and Elijah faded to show that the New Testament is the true fulfillment of the Old Testament. And I believe that God's transforming power can be shown in each and every one of us as well. It was at our baptism that God canceled away our sins, right? if you were older, and if you were just a baby, canceled original sin. And God came to dwell within our souls at that point. And whenever we go to confession, our sins are forgiven as well, right? And when we repent in our hearts. And that grace of God is available to everybody. I want to share with you an example of a man, Paul Kardenbrock, born in Kentucky in the 1960s in a very permissive culture. And he was into drugs and alcohol, and he ended up killing two people and ended up on death row. But in 1982, he asked for a priest to come and hear his confession and give him Holy Communion. Father Frank went and heard his confession and then eventually celebrated a mass there on death row for all the death row inmates. And it was a transforming experience for Paul at that point in his life. He took a correspondence course from then on with a Catholic university, became a certified catechist, and he ran an RCIA program on death row. And every year from the time that he started it, he brought at least one death row inmate to Jesus and the church through baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. And I looked, and it seems like he's off death row at this point and still alive. And Father Frank asked Paul, what was it that transformed him? What helped him so much? And Paul said four things. He said, number one, I let go of all the stuff that bothered me. So, you know, all of his own personal sins and also maybe the sins of others against him. He let go of all of that. We all have to let go of our past, right? If you keep hanging on to it, you're going to be drugged down by it and you'll never make any progress. We have to forgive ourselves and we have to forgive others. Don't hold on to the junk. Our Father Brennan likes to say the trophies that we put in our trophy case. He or she hurt me. And we take out that trophy of that hurt and we shine it up and we remember it and we just get all angrier and angrier. We've got to get rid of it. Right? We have to let go of all of these past things. Number two, Paul said that he meditated daily. So he prayed daily. He spent quality time with the Lord. Number three, he said he read the Bible daily, the Word of God to nourish his soul. And number four, he said that he shared with other prisoners his faith and what Jesus had done for him, his conversion. And I think those are four good things for all of us to live by, right? Every day. Let go of the things of the past, to pray every day, to read the scriptures, be nourished by that, meditate on it, come Lord Jesus, Bible studies, and so forth. And number four, share with others what Jesus has done in our life. That is a very powerful thing for us. You remember Martin Luther King Jr., just a few days before he was shot and killed, tragically, terribly, that he preached a homily and he used this transfiguration symbolism. He said, I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the glory of the Lord. I'm fearing no man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. And so he too gave up his life. But look what his offering and sacrifice of his life did for us as a people and as a country, right? God is with us. His transforming power can do great and incredible things. And so what we are celebrating today is more powerful than a hydrogen bomb. We are celebrating the grace and the power of Christ in our lives to change sin into virtue, to change evil into goodness, to make us sinners into saints. That is an incredible thing. And one day, faithfully following the Lord, we too will see him face to face. We will see this glory like Peter, James, and John saw that glory of the Lord. And what a beautiful thing that will be. Right now, it's all very humble. You have to have faith to see it. It's love. It's these kinds of things that a lot of our world doesn't appreciate, right? But it's hidden. The power is hidden, but it's there. And one day, we shall see it. And so let us long for that day and already anticipate it now as we worship him and we praise him.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. I fear no evil, for you are at my side. Amen.